I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Worldwide.
Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 709. This is your host, Danny, and joining me is Mr. Pete. Pete, what's up, Pete?
Nothing much, man. It's been a long day. I've been spending the last couple of days here playing around in OBS and whatnot, and trying to find some tools across the vast interwebs, and just trying to update the look. Like Paris had mentioned a show or two ago, you know, thanks to Mandy, Lady Luck 34, you know, she's former show host, you know, cast member here at GTR. You know, she did a great job of giving us a jumping off point from a visual standpoint once we started doing this show. No, Cypher, you're not going to hire me. I'm not good at this. It's just, you know, it was about time that we kind of grew up and did a little something bigger, better. Definitely felt that we deserved it. So I just started, you know, just practicing and just, you know, putting some hard needed time into our show from the background. So, you know, this new layout hopefully is, I wouldn't say it's the final product, but I think it's a great jumping off point for the 2.0 relaunch of the Twitch page. So, you know, I hope everybody likes it. Hope, you know, I hope you and Paris dig it. If Paris ever does come back today.
It's all good. But yeah, watch us live. Watch us live on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. Now, on this episode, I'm also going to add a bonus, which... this happened during the recording on Sunday that we had a long conversation with Paris. He was out with his son, he called us through his phone and stuff. And we had a long conversation about studios getting shut down. And yes, we're going to have a major topic about that in a few minutes here. But it's a great, great conversation. I got to hear it again today. And it's Pete. It's a great conversation, dude. I have to play it on the podcast because there's a lot of people that don't watch us on Twitch. So I think this is like a great extra content for those that listen to the podcast, you know. So we're going to play it later on the show. But Pete, we have to talk about breaking news from yesterday, which I sent it to you and you were in shock. And the reason why I want Pete to talk about this is because Pete has a very long history with this company. And I think one of his first major event that he got invited to was at this studio a couple of years back, early days of GTR. So, Pete, you want to talk about it?
Yeah. So, you know, just, you know, we'll do the announce of what happened for those that aren't aware, and then we'll go into the backstory, so on. So yesterday,
yeah, definitely.
EA shut down Visceral Studios or Visceral Games, which is one of the studios headquartered out of the EA Redwood Shores San Francisco office. The reason Danny says that it holds a dear place in my heart is specifically because just after I joined, you know, GTR, and after me hounding and bugging Danny to be a part of the show, I went on my first assignment, had my first major fail.
Yes.
you know, everybody has them, right? But it's not about how you fail. It's how you use that as a learning experience, and you grow and you get better over time. On that trip, I saw an article in Game Informer. Actually, it was the cover article, and it was the announcement of Dead Space. And I was shooketh. Like, I was like, oh, I need to be all in the Kool-Aid for this game. And I begged and I pleaded with Danny, be like, dude, if you're going to put me on any assignment, this is the one I want. Cause this, like, this is the game that I want to be a part of. So if there's anything that we can do, if you hear of anything that I need to do to check out the coverage, I want to be there. And, sure enough, we got the invite to go out there. I got to meet Glenn Schofield, who's now doing Call of Duty. But Visceral Games was his baby, and as was Dead Space. So, you know, that was basically my first introduction into being invited to a full-on community event, getting to meet the developers, the art director, the creative director for Call of Duty with Glenn was the creative director for Dead Space as well. Got to meet the audio people and got to go through all of that stuff. And that's like all of that coverage is back in the archives from 08, I want to say, 07, 08. So, you know, if you could dig back into the RSS feed, I'm sure you'll find it. But yeah, that was one of the first, you know, my first hardcore introductions into the video game industry. And to hear that Visceral Games themselves had been shut down and that the game in development that they specifically were working on, which was the new Star Wars game, has been, I don't want to say shut down, but it's been rebooted and split up. And if I'm not mistaken, Patrick Soderlund from EA said that it had been shipped off to the Montreal studio, which had been working on part of the game as at the time. So it's not over, but it's been rebooted, and now it's going to have now that, and allegedly Amy Hennig, who was brought over from the Uncharted Naughty Dog days to helm the new Star Wars title, they're not commenting. So it's kind of scary, in my opinion, that, you know, now there's two things that are held, you know, that are held in close esteem. I was always hoping, and I'm going to keep bringing it up because, so yeah, it's disconcerting that Star Wars is back in flux. They're actually going to stop, take a reassessment of the entire landscape of what the game was supposed to be, pull back and go in a different direction. And that's disconcerting, to say the least. I mean, there's so much anticipation, so much hype, especially when you have someone with the cachet of Amy Hennig, you know, leading the charge for the Star Wars IP. And now it's being, you know, rebooted. So,
you know what it is too, Pete, that this is now the second Star Wars game that was officially a single player game that is basically got canceled or something happened, right? Now, I think now that EA is just going to be concentrating on the whole online part of gaming. Multiplayer and all that stuff. They've done it now with all their sports games, all their games like Battlefield, Battlefront, all that stuff. And I was reading today that Dead Space 2 had, I believe, a $60 million budget on everything. And it sold, I believe, maybe was it like 4 million? And it was still considered a failure. And remember, that game is just strictly single player, no multiplayer at all, right? So now that this is all happening, there's only a few companies now that actually are willing to release single player games from the get. Nintendo's been doing really good with that, you know, with Zelda, now with Mario Odyssey that's coming out. Ubisoft have been doing a great job too with that. Assassin's Creed, Mario Rabbids, right? Bethesda did an amazing job with The Evil Within 2. And they're willing to release single-player games. Now, the games that I've seen the most that has like the most single-player games, of course, is indie games. And I'm afraid that now a lot of companies are just going to stay away with the whole single-player and just concentrating on the multiplayer. And And the reason why that's happening too is I blame us too, man. I blame us as gamers. We are just being too picky.
What did I do?
This is straight up. This is for real. Like, look, I think that, and you know, I think we got used to games having multiplayer. So a lot of us don't want to waste $60 on a single player game because once we're done, that's it. There's nothing else you could do, right? Which is true. I agree with that. But man, the Evil Within 2, Mario Rabbids, now Assassin's Creed that we played a couple times, like, yo, those games are really good, man. Single player game, forget about multiplayer. I love playing single player games, man. Like the past few days, I have been just showing single player games on Twitch. I finished South Park that just came out a couple days ago. I just completed that game and I was streaming live on Twitch and everybody was like into it, asking me questions and stuff. And it's dope, man. It's very disappointing to see that EA, which they get all the exclusive stuff, right, for like Star Wars games, now they don't want to concentrate on single player game. They want to, yeah, they might add a campaign there, right? But it has to have multiplayer now. And it's like, come on, can you just release a Star Wars game that doesn't have multiplayer?
Well, I think, and Andrew House had made mention of this a while back, games as a service is a direction that EA wants to move forward with going forward. And unfortunately, I think the linear structure for a game, for this particular game, you know, from our discussion, Star Wars, didn't fit in that model. If you'll look back, and that's something that I think Amy Hennig is known for. If you go back to the Uncharted series, that linear structure is what I think she was going to do with this. And because that didn't fit the company line, in particular, now, again, this is speculation on my part, but from what I'm reading into it and from what I can see, I think this may have been a contributing factor. I've been reading into this all day. I think it may have led to it. So again, this is just me postulating here in my chair in my office, but I think unfortunately, because of that linear structure and it didn't fit into that games as a service model, where they can continually iterate and continue to bring more services in. Now, who knows? Maybe that game is something that could have evolved into that. And I don't know if closing the studio was the right move, but hey, I don't run EA, so I don't get to make that call. And unfortunately, you know, the development teams there said, this is the decision that they're going to make. Now, I did read that there's like 70 developers left over that they're trying to move over to other studios to help with other things. But it's one of the sucky parts of this industry when, you know, good people doing good work, unfortunately, have to live on that pins and needle lifestyle because they don't have the luxury of having that long-standing, opportunity of, you know, growing those roots and staying in places for long distance, you know, for long periods of time. I mean, we've seen it with people, maybe not on the development side, but more on the marketing and the PR side. They shift, they go from team to team. It's a small, close-knit group of, you know, industry. So, you know, it's not surprising that you see someone from on a Microsoft title 2 years later is now working on a PlayStation title, or they've, you know, someone from a studio is now, from BioWare is now over here. There's so much volatility and flexibility and variety and with which this industry rotates and works on. So it's, and to go back to what you were saying, as much as me, Mr. Multiplayer, right? Anything that integrates playing with others as opposed to the single player is usually my preferred go-to thing. It sucks because I think the industry does need these single player experiences. You need those, Horizon Zero Dawn games. You need those Uncharted games. You need those, you know, experiences. I mean, hell, even look it down to Cuphead. It might be, you know, a co-op couch platformer. You need those games to give variety to the industry. And it's a shame when you hear about these things.
Yeah, like, I hope that Mario Odyssey or like one of those major single player games that came out already this year, I hope one of them takes over the end of the year, like game of the year type game. I hope that happens, because I'm really getting tired of the whole multiplayer thing, man. I'm getting tired of it, man. Look at The Witcher. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing game. PlayStation this year have released a couple of great single player games. I don't know, man. I've even read online people saying, oh my God, Cuphead is only offline. There's no online featuring. I'm not buying it. Really?
Again, just, but remember, because, again, that's preference. That's people's preference.
Of course, so. Of course, Pete. But the thing is, I think we're getting so used to this whole, I need my multiplayer. I need a multiplayer in there. There's a lot of great games out there that a lot of people haven't even gotten like the chance to play it, because they're so caught up with the whole, I need multiplayer online in the game.
Guilty as charged.
And they're going to be missing out a lot of great games because of that. Don't get me wrong. You need multiplayer in some games, but not every game needs to have multiplayer.
100% agree.
Dead Space, Pete. Dead Space was one of the greatest like experience I had in gaming, man. I go with that. I go with Alan Wake. And that was all offline, playing this for the first time, not knowing anything about the game. And I was surprised. I'm like, man, this thing is amazing, man. And it's sad that a lot of people slept on it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people slept on it because of that, you know? So that's the only thing I'm kind of frustrated about all this, man. You know, because that was a really great studio. Okay, I didn't like Dead Space 3. I didn't like it. It turned into the whole, like, Gears of War type way. But Dead Space 1 and 2 was freaking amazing, man. Amazing. And I feel that EA is always doing that, man. They're shutting down studios all the time, man.
Well, you figure it's a business decision, and
it is, look, business.
And I understand that with games especially, they've got a finite shelf life, and you can't expect a development team to just sit there unless they're able to iterate and bring new experiences or more content to the consumer. What's the purpose of having a team that's developed a great game, and unless there's a plan to do a sequel, either shift them to another game, or unfortunately, as we've seen, you got to let them go. So unless there's the opportunity for them to have longevity and extend the life or the shelf life of a specific game, there's no way to do that other than to, unfortunately, shutter. And from a tax perspective, I guess you can say, yeah, they need to close it because, you know, maybe it's not making the amount of money that they needed to do within that division. And so they move it to a different group. You know, and that's, at the end of the day, that's a back end corporate decision that, you know, companies do, whether it's to shift money, mm-hmm. or to shift resources, et cetera. But that, you know, that takes this show to a totally different conversation, and pretty much, and at the end of the day, brings it to what I do on a day to day basis, and I don't want to talk about work. So
now look, I know the whole business side. Yes, I understand. I completely understand. But at the same time, gamers, if there's a great game out there, could be from a big company or independently, that is awesome, give it a chance. That's all I'm saying. Give it a chance. Cuphead, a success, because of course Microsoft been promoting it like crazy, right? But at the same time, gamers has been also spreading the word about this, man, on Twitch, on podcasts, on blogs, on sites. There, it's word of mouth, man. Word of mouth. That's all I'm saying. Like, just support these games, man. If you really want to see more single player games, support it. If you don't, then that thing is gonna die down, man. And then probably like one or two companies are still gonna be pushing it. You know, because I feel like every other company now wants to be the Destinies. They want to be the Battlegrounds. And if there's so many games of the same type of content, dude, it's gonna get really boring, man. In gaming, in my opinion, you know? So let's move on, Pete. I have another thing to say, which is going to be it's going to be a nice little rant on this one, Pete. So usually...
Here we go.
Usually we get games from companies early, all the time. And the reason why I love that is because it's content for the podcast. It's great for us to now stream this on Twitch and show the gamers everything, right? Before the game comes out. It's great. I love it, right? So Nintendo, a couple weeks ago, usually Nintendo set games 2 weeks, even sometimes even almost 3 weeks before it comes out. So they sent this game for the 3DS, Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, right? So they sent it to influencers, to independent websites, and of course the major big blogs, right? So it was sent out. So what happened, there was a journalist, nobody knows the name, who it was, but according to a couple of sources on different sites, they said that this journalist grabbed this content, this game, and leaked it online illegally for everybody could just download it and play on their 3DS. So what happened? Nintendo found out who it was, and now every single site, especially the independent sites, the influencers, the YouTubers, everything, now Nintendo's going to be really picky on who they're going to send the copy for them to, for people to review. And it's kind of messed up, man, because I was waiting for Nintendo to send us a copy of Mario Odyssey for us to review on the podcast. Now I don't even know if we're going to get it to review because of this stupid person that did that, man. And now, not only us, but you affected like a lot of these independent websites now. Now we're a lot of us not getting crap from Nintendo because of this dumbass that did that. And that really pisses me off, man, because a lot of us worked so hard, like GoldNintendo.com. He doesn't even know if he's going to, Kevin from GoldNintendo.com, he doesn't even know if he's going to get games from Nintendo. He's still going to continue to review, of course, third-party games and independent games. But first-party, who knows? And he's been doing it for 13 years. He has his website up. It's really frustrating, man. I can't believe this. Like, we got an opportunity for us to review something, and somebody in the community just basically, excuse me for my language, but they basically for everybody, man. That's all I wanted to say, Pete. So if you want to say anything about that, I'm pissed because, yo, look, this week, Fire Emblem Warriors comes out for the Nintendo Switch. It comes out this Friday. Nobody has that game.
And nobody will.
No one has that.
Launches.
Until after launches, because of this person, what he did. That's messed up. That's truly, truly messed up, man.
So,
and you know how it is behind the scenes, P, for us to get a game just to review, for us to talk about it. Like it's work. It's a pain. We have to build relationships because you know how it is in the industry. Like a lot of PRs, they move around, they change, and you know, once a new person comes into that company, we have to like, hey, we have to reintroduce ourselves every single time. It's not only us, it's everybody else that we know. They have to do the same exact thing. We have to build that relationship. And once they feel comfortable, then they're like, oh, you know what? Let's see if they could review. Let's see how they review this game or whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. Instead of like leaking stuff. That's why every time we go to an event, we never mention the name of the game unless the company tells us it's okay for us to talk about it. You know, we don't want to mess it up for everybody, you know?
So, unfortunately, it's a necessary evil when you send out games early for people to be able to do the review and get their opinions out into the public so that they can form an opinion and hopefully go out and buy the game. There are always bad apples every single time. And we've seen this time and time again, whether it's a small time, you know, one time opportunity that was given to a influencer or blogger or somewhat, or even the majors. We've seen it from the Kotakus and all the other ones. It's a foregone conclusion that somebody's going to leak something, especially this day and age. Everybody's trying to go for that quick hit 15 minutes of fame to try to get, you know, to try to get the hits and numbers. And I don't know if there's some, if I don't know if there's a way to prevent it, other than, and it sounds almost petty, but at that point you can only have to, you only have to be able to deal with the established bloggers or media or journalists, right? The people that have been in the industry for a long time. But on the converse, you've got people like us, we've been around for 12, 13 years plus, we have the relationships, but when you have a new person in media that they may not know us, we wouldn't have that opportunity. So at that point, we're,
I agree,
we're back at square one, but that's not to say that we're going to go out and, you know, start, you know, leaking everything we can just to get that credibility or just to get that, that notoriety and say, look, we were the ones that dropped this. But that shows the maturity of the site, and all we can do is, you know, keep doing what we've been doing. You know, we can shout out on the Twitters and on the Facebooks. No, you shall not do this. You should not be doing this. But at the end of the day, there has to be responsibility from those that have the opportunity or are given the opportunity to check out, review games ahead of time, and report on them unbiased. You're always going to have, you know, there's going to be those naysayers and that 5 or 10% that are always going to do it, but it is what it is. And
no, I agree with you. I'm just a little bit frustrated, not because of us. Like, look, if we don't get the game, it's fine. It's not the end of the world or anything like that. I'm just saying that I just feel bad for a lot of these other independent bloggers and podcasters that we know that usually gets content from games from companies. It's messed up. Like, yo, we're all of us are doing our job. We're doing our thing. We're doing everything right. And somebody messed up, and now everybody has to pay the price now because of that one person that did that. And that's not fair. Block that person. Block that site. Keep on, move on. Keep continuing. You know, there's stuff that we've seen from other sites that they've done mistakes, and maybe a company won't work with them anymore. But it, everybody else that always review their games, they still get their game stuff, you know, like early to review it or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know, Nintendo are taking this like to a whole new level now, man. A whole new level.
I think what they're doing is they're setting the example.
That too. It could be that. I agree.
Swift and quickly. Like, they're showing everybody, you know, they're dropping trowel and saying, this is what's going to happen. So everybody is on notice now from a Nintendo perspective. And who knows, maybe this is what is needed to, and again, there's always going to be those that go for the quick shot as opposed for longevity, but this is what they're doing. This is what they're trying to do to set an example so it doesn't happen again.
It just sucks.
Agreed.
Sucks now completely. Let's go to the next topic, Pete. Have you read about this? The whole Rolling Stone article about how Activision uses matchmaking tricks to sell in-game items. Is that true? According to Deej, he's like, no, this is not true. So how this is, I don't know. You want to talk about it real quick? You're more of a Destiny guy, but go. I don't know if you want me to, but whatever.
I'm sure Paris probably has a little bit more information on this.
Where are you, Paris?
Well, he's lurking in the chat. Okay. But apparently there was a patent that went out, and within the patent discusses how pairing up players could also be used as a way to entice them to purchase in-game items so that they could level up quicker, so that they could be matched up with others. So take this for example. Paris is in the game. Obviously, he's been playing nonstop, and he's a level 300, you know, I'm going to say a hunter because I know he hates it, but he's not on the show to defend himself. So he's a level 300 hunter. He's, you know, he's finished, you know, the prestige raid, which came out and today, and it's already been beaten, but he, you know, he's beaten the prestige raid. So he's got all these cool raid weapons. He's playing PvP, and myself, who's still level 265, who's essentially given up on Destiny 2. I decided to jump in one day and I get matched up to play against him. And I realize, okay, well, I suck canal water. I'm potatoing everything because I don't have all these great weapons in Iron Banner. How do I get to his level quicker? Well, let me go ahead and, if you know, because the opportunity is there, let me wallet warrior my way to success and get the bigger, better weapons by throwing my wallet at the game as opposed to putting in the time and effort and going through the game and getting all these cool things. And essentially, and this is what has been read into the patent. This is what was built into the system by the good folks at Bungie. And I don't know how I feel about that.
Well,
and I've admitted it on the show. I've wallet warriored my way to success in some games. Ghost Recon Wildlands being one of them.
Thanks,
times
Pete.
On console.
Thanks,
and on
Pete.
PC.
It's all your fault. No, but Deej said that they don't use this in the game. In Destiny 2, they don't use this at all. So is it Call of Duty? Like, what's going on with Activision? Like, what's up with this? Now, you got to understand too, man. It's a little bit tricky when all these games has been like the same price for how long now, Pete? I think since... what's it since like Nintendo 64? Something like that? Well, no, you know what? Those are cartridges. No. Let me go for it. I think the last time they went up, the prices went up was during the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 days. It went up to, I think, $10 up. And it's been the same price ever since. Now, the thing is, now I want to have this conversation with you too, Pete. But a lot of the companies are... it relates to the same first conversation that we had too, that a lot of companies are wasting money on crap, right? On a lot of stuff that they think is going to work and it doesn't work, like when it comes to marketing wise. Add that, plus they're investing too much money on the game. So if a game gets 1 million copies sold, 2 million, it's still not a success. Same thing what I just said about Dead Space 2 in the beginning. It sold 4 million and it was still considered a failure. Tomb Raider, the first one, sold a lot. Still considered a failure. Now, okay, that doesn't work. So let's do this all selling in-game items to see if that works. And you have people like Pete that buys these items in the game. And it's like, yo, they're making money too. But now I can't hate at you, Pete. Because that's your money. That's your decision. Mm-hmm. At least they weren't forcing you to buy that. Now,
No, they didn't. They didn't. I did it completely by choice. Yeah. Only because they sent me the game. And that was money I was going to spend regardless. So I figured, let me just throw it at them.
But anyways, even if a game is free and they had all these microtransactions, that's okay too. Because, come on. How a company is going to make money if everything is free? And there's nothing like... like a perfect example, I love how CD Projekt Red had like a lot of free items, a lot of free stuff, a lot of free content for The Witcher 3. And they also have content that they sold later. It got released, right? But at the beginning, it was all free content for everybody. Here, this is new quests, new stuff that you can download, add this to your game. That's cool. I like that too. But at the same time, they got to make money. So it's cool that they added some content that they sold to online.
That's their DLC, actually won Game of the Year, if I recall correctly. Because, I mean, where else are you going to find $25 to get two pieces of DLC that adds 40 plus hours of gameplay?
Crazy. But see what I'm saying? Like that's dope. I like that. You know, but this industry is changing so much. And this is perfect conversation we had a couple of days ago, Pete, about when things are not working, they're just going to shut it down. And we literally just had this conversation on Sunday. Paris, which I'm going to play on the podcast later, but that was a great conversation.
But you have to understand that's the direction that the industry is going in order to continue the shovel of money coming into individual developers. It doesn't force, there's never the gun to the head saying you have to spend this money. It puts the onus on the consumer. And if the consumer is going to continue to throw the wallet, do they have a reason to stop?
Let me tell you a little tidbit that I heard about. This is from years ago, so I think it's good, safe to say that I could talk about this. So, do you remember when Guitar Hero came out for the Xbox 360? It was the first time. It was always on PlayStation. Do you remember that, Pete? Back in the days. Do you remember? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that they were selling songs on that game? And I think the first few DLC content that I had for Guitar Hero, I think was it Guitar Hero 2? Yes, it was Guitar Hero 2. It was expensive for one song. I can't remember top of the head what was the price, but I know it was. They started selling it through the Xbox 360 store. You could go and buy it, but it was very expensive. A lot of blogs, you could look it up, search it through Google. A lot of websites complained about that. A lot. Forums.
It's like music licensing.
But here, let me explain what happened. NeoGAF, everybody complained about it, right? Oh, this is not going to sell. This is an abuse. Why are they selling this so expensive? Dude, I had people from the inside telling me, that is selling a lot of copies, so I don't know what people are talking about. They could complain all they want. It's still selling. That because literally there's a lot of people that don't read blogs. Don't listen to the show. They don't go to YouTube. And they see this online. They love this game so much that they're willing to pay that money, man. It's part of the business.
Can you blame them, though? Can you blame them?
No,
though?
I don't. I'm not blaming them.
If they can sell it and there's a rube that's going to throw their money at it, like me.
Yeah.
Can you blame them?
No, I'm not blaming them, Pete. I think that's the point.
But I mean, if you have the but as a company, in order to continue to be able to bring in a constant revenue stream, if you can continue to sell a product, even if it's in the form of downloadable content or it's the form of, you know, these, you know, $2,000 skirt on PUBG or whatever, people want to buy it, they're going to buy it. And if there's people, I mean, look, I'm just going to throw it from a comic book perspective, okay? There's auctions that I see where it's a raffle to get a chance to win, like, Hulk number one, which I saw today, right? There was 10 spots, $1,000 a slot. Dude bought two of them. Granted, if he wins that Hulk number one, he only spent $2,000. That's a $4,000 to $8,000 book, probably more in the condition that it was in. But he only invested $2,000. He wins it because he increases chances. Fantastic. It's the same. It's, you know, but if not, then he's out $2,000 and you're stupid. But at the end of the day, if there's someone out there willing to throw the dollars at you for your, whether it's downloadable content or it's in-game, you know, cosmetic, you know, stuff like a cool trench coat or whatever that, you know, makes you identify that separates you from the normies on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
No, hating that. I'm just saying it's a perfect example. Like us, because we're so stuck in this bubble that we think just because somebody complains on Twitter that everybody feels the same. It's not that way, man. People still going to be supporting those microtransactions that you guys are complaining about.
Go back to Microsoft's Xbox 360 dashboard. One of the one component of Xbox 360's dashboard that people spent the most time on, more than games and anything else, was the Avatar Marketplace. People spent the most amount of time in there, and they were going out spending money, you know, so they could get the cool little DJ hero thing. That was me. get the Transformer kit or the Call of Duty Modern Warfare pack, so you get the little UAV floating around your head. It differentiates you as an individual from the other people because that's what people do, you know, instead of everybody walking around with the same black shirt and black pants and black shoes, you know, people want to be different. So they style their hair different. Mm-hmm. They wear red shirts, you know, things like that. They shave their head. They've got the chin strap like Danny. That's individuality. That's what people want to do. So when you have that opportunity to do that in game, don't you?
I mean, dude, I agree with you, dude. Like, it's not, I feel like you're attacking me for some reason.
I am.
Well, you're attacking
salt.
Me. All right. So we're going to take a short break and I'm going to play this audio on the podcast of our conversation that we had with Paris a couple of days ago. Literally, it was on Sunday that we had this conversation, days before this whole news about EA shutting down studios and everything. So I'm going to play it here in a podcast, and once I come back, I'm going to wrap it up, end the show. We'll be right back after this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
The point I was trying to make on the chat was, for the developer, I think if Microsoft wanted to buy them, do it. Don't do it, because Microsoft is going to give them a boatload of cash, and then now Microsoft is going to pay for the development of their next game, right? So that money they get for getting purchased sets them financially. And that's why I kind of said, look at Vince Zampella from Infinity Ward, because Infinity Ward, Activision bought them. That set him and Jason West financially, so that when all the stuff went down with Infinity Ward and they quote unquote got fired, they had the capital and they had the reputation to then go start Respawn. But they financially, they weren't hurting because Activision had gave them all that money. Now, yeah, I get they
also,
what you got.
They also got a chunk from EA to join their.
No, exactly. Exactly. So, exactly. But again, that's my point. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it from a personal standpoint. If I'm an indie developer and I made Cuphead, and Microsoft came to me, and I'm just pulling a random number out, they'll be like, we want to give you $250 million to buy your studio and buy the rights to Cuphead exclusive. I'm doing it, personally. You about to give me $250 million? I'm doing it. Take all these assets. Because guess what?
Yeah.
If you fire me, or if you shut down the studio, I have the reputation of being the developer that made Cuphead. My family, we're financially set now because of that $250 million purchase. But now I can go start another studio and continue to make games. There's nothing stopping me. But I now have that financial peace of mind because Microsoft bought me. Now, from a gamer standpoint, I get what you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. No, I would rather them stay independent and be on every platform. But I think for them, it's more of a risk that you're now saying our game needs to be a huge hit financially to set me for life. Whereas it's less of a risk for them if Microsoft were to just buy them outright. Kind of the same with Bluehole. If Microsoft came to Bluehole and said, we're buying PUBG, imagine the amount of money they'd have to give Bluehole to buy them. I mean, we're talking probably $1 billion, right? Something yeah. crazy like I that. Mean,
they Bluehole know? Just opened up a whole new company.
Yeah.
PUBG Ventures or something like that.
Yeah.
Just to handle that game, that title alone. So I don't see Microsoft coming out of pocket that much to try to take that out, you know, and put it under a first party, you know, like that's a lot of money. I just don't see.
No, it is. And that's probably why it wouldn't happen. But like, let's look back in the day. Microsoft probably should have bought BioWare back in the day. And instead EA bought them. And I can't even remember what the number was, but if you look at what EA paid to get BioWare versus them, you know, Microsoft doing it, that would have been a drop in the bucket, because I can't remember the amount, but it was a lot lower than you think. They now have Mass Effect and Dragon Age and all this stuff exclusive to them right now.
$860 million.
Yeah, I think that's chump change for BioWare. You know,
well, do you remember this company that worked on Splosion Man? Microsoft purchased that company. They bought them a long time ago, and they're no longer part of Microsoft.
Right.
Because it wasn't working out. So it's like,
right,
some things works out, Paris, and some don't.
No. And that's what I'm saying.
Like Minecraft is working for Microsoft. That was like a perfect purchase. You know, the owner of that
of that company freaking left. He's doing this thing now. He's like bored at home.
you actually bring up the point. That's kind of the point I'm making. And like I said, I'm looking at it from a personal standpoint. He got, what, how many billions of dollars did they spend to get Minecraft? Like I said,
I think it was a billion.
It a billion straight up? Yeah. He just throws parties every weekend now, chilling. You know, he's good. If he wants to go and try and make another game, he can. But now he's financially set for life because of that. And that's what I'm saying. I'm looking at it from that standpoint, whereas, and luckily Microsoft isn't forcing Minecraft to only be on Xbox platforms. They're making it wherever, which is good. But from a gamer standpoint, yeah, you don't want things to just be exclusive to one thing. You want them on every platform so everyone can enjoy them. But that was just my whole point with Cuphead, because the reason I said that was because reading that article about those developers, I mean, they took out second mortgages. The wife was doing all the animation, hand drawn. I mean, it's like they put their heart, soul, huge risk for Cuphead. So if Microsoft were to come to them now and say, we're going to give you a boatload of cash and now we own the IP, I think for them, they jump at it. They do it. Why not? You know, because now they second mortgage paid off, house, everything's paid off. They're good financially. They're set and they can just focus on making games at that point.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, do you agree with us when I mentioned a couple of companies that, you know, they were purchased and then it failed, and let's say that major company that bought them shut them down right away. Okay, you know, we don't need them anymore.
Yeah, I can give you a great one. Pandemic.
Oh, yeah, Pandemic.
The Saboteur. Remember the Saboteur?
Yep.
I mean, you know, it didn't do as well as EA wanted it to do. Shut the studio down. That was a great studio.
I'm afraid that could happen.
Mercenary. They did Mercenaries, too. They also did Mercenaries. Yeah,
you're right. We were at their
event. Yeah, we went to the event, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I met Ryan, and I didn't know he worked for Marvel.
Oh yes, that's true. That's the one. That's the one.
Yeah.
You're right. But you agree with what I was saying though, like about Rare. What happened if Sea of Thieves ships out and it's not a success? I could see Microsoft shutting them down, man.
Yes. I was gonna say Rare. Rare to me is Sea of Thieves. Like, I don't think Sea of Thieves would be the one to shut them down. I think they might get one more chance after that with a big AAA game. They're either going to be regulated to just doing things like you remember they were doing all the Avatar stuff and all that, Kinect stuff. They're either going to be that kind of studio or they're just going to go away. And that's a shame, because I think what Microsoft would do is they would take those IPs that Rare owns, like Banjo-Kazooie, Perfect Dark. They'll just give them to other studios, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, that's why I really hope Sea of Thieves is a hit. Because, I mean, just the legacy of Rare, you don't want to see them go away. But it's business, man. This is how it works. But at the same time, I think a lot of that core talent that made Rare Rare left. It's kind of why, if you go back to Bungie, why Microsoft granted Bungie their freedom. Because if they wouldn't have, all those guys would have left. And that it wouldn't have been Bungie anymore. It's just like Infinity Ward. Infinity Ward isn't Infinity Ward anymore because everyone that made Infinity Ward left to Respawn, you know?
But a lot of people left Bungie. Now they're part of 343 because they just love working on the Halo series. And some of them stayed to work on something new with Destiny.
Right. That's my point. I mean, some people like Frankie and all that, they stayed at Microsoft and became 343. But the core of Bungie, all those guys stayed with Bungie and they went... Obviously, went on to make Destiny or whatever, but that's kind of the thing when you have an independent studio that's bought by a company. If the main company wants to go a different direction than what the founders of that studio wants to do, that's where you come into that conflict. And it's like, do you want to just keep the name of the studio, or do you want to let those core? Do you want to keep those core people who made the studio what it is, or do you want them to leave and just keep the name and keep the IP? That's what it comes down to.
Yep.
At the end of the day, it's licensing that's going to make all the money and determines the future.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Like not even video games. The guys that invented Siri, Apple obviously bought that company and integrated it, and now we have Siri as it is today. Those people left Apple, and I forget what AI they're making now. They left and they're making some other AI now. They're like, here you go, take Siri, we're out. And now they're rich and they're doing something else.
Yeah, so they were there probably. It's like, you know, it's a perfect example. It reminds me of Tom from MySpace.
Yeah.
they purchased MySpace. He was there for like maybe a year, or two. Bounced. He's like on vacation ever since.
Yep.
He's always taking pictures of different places he's been since he left.
Here's one. What if someone came? What if some big media company came to us right now and said they want to buy Gamertag Radio? They want to own the IP, all the licenses, everything to it, and we're going to give you guys $5 million. I'd be like, Danny, just give me my cut. and we're going to start achievement radio or something. We're out.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Not GTR. Not GTR.com.
Not GTR.
PSN Trophy Radio. That's what we'll do.
Now from that point of view, it hurts that we're letting it go. But at the same time, it's like, wow, it's a success.
$5 million buys a really, really comfortable like tear cleaner, bro.
It's all good. Yeah, I don't know. It's just as scary as a fan of these companies, man. That's all I was coming from, like, as a gamer, you know. Now, Business Paris, like you said, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense, you know. Yeah. But it reminds me of a lot of Bizarre Creations, man. Dude, I freaking love the Project Gotham series. Mm-hmm. Then they released Blur. Yo, I was playing that nonstop with PA, Mandy, David, all of us. We were just playing that nonstop, man. And then I heard that Activision just decided to shut them down out of nowhere. Like, it's not selling. Shut down. I'm like, no.
So speaking of them, because I'm my memory's fuzzy on this. So when they were putting out Project Gotham Racing, Microsoft never owned the studio.
No, it was
they just owned the IP of Project Gotham Racing.
Yep.
Then Activision bought Bizarre Creations, and then that's when they made Blur. And then, like you said, Blur flopped, and they were like, you're out. Yep.
Peace. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it's the same thing with Guitar Hero. Like, Harmonix left. They started doing their old thing, right? Mm-hmm. The developers that were originally part of the creators of Guitar Hero. So,
Fable. Look at Lionhead. That's another example.
Gone. THQ.
Yeah.
Wait, THQ?
They're a publisher.
They're a publisher, though.
All right. So,
what you were talking about?
I'm just saying, just in general, companies that have gone defunct that had great titles, like, you know, you guys had talked about Pandemic and the Blurs, you know, Bizarre Creations, etc. Those are all, you know, companies that gave us great games. I mean, shit, even if you want to go Atari, I mean, yeah, they went down, you know, now they're starting to come up with, you know, just expanding on their, like Paris was saying, now they're expanding on the license itself and using the license to bring over other stuff.
Well, Nolan was smart. He sold Atari.
Bounce. I'm a build. What is it? Chuck E. Cheese and make my money off
Chuck E. Cheese
and pissy water balls.
He has different stuff that he started. Also, a virtual reality company right now. Oh, by the way, Paris, before you go, your thoughts about Super Mario Odyssey? Edge Magazine gave it a perfect score. This is the 20th game that received a perfect score from this magazine, and this is game number 2. From Nintendo this year alone, that contender of Game of the Year.
It's almost 8. Sorry, my son's answer to go to the tailgate. He's like, "What time is it?"
No.
I mean, you know, I heard you when you were talking about it on the podcast earlier. Yeah, it's like I said, man. You can see now this game is going to be very special. So them giving it a 10 out of 10 does not surprise me at all. I don't know if you even saw that, I guess, at the Best Buy doing the demos and stuff. People are already doing speed runs in the store.
I've seen that. That's crazy.
And there's like lines throughout the stores now with people waiting to play this game. It is highly anticipated. This, when we talk about a system seller, when we say, hey, this game, you will buy a system just to play this game, this is an example of that right here. This is a system seller. If I didn't own a Switch already, and I was saying it even before the Switch came out, this was the game that was going to get me to buy a Switch. So now that I have a Switch, guess what? Picking it up day one. You know, it's not even a question.
Yep. I'm just waiting to see if Pete is going to buy a Nintendo Switch, man.
Yeah. And look, let me give you a little sales pitch right now. So when we drove out to Phoenix, you know, it was like about a 4.5-hour drive. My son had the Switch in the back. I could hear him the whole time playing Mario Kart the whole time we were driving out, you know? And it's like, that's freaking cool. That's freaking cool that we literally have a console, a full-on console, anywhere you go. With all these flights and stuff we've been taking, you know, the last few months, it switches with me every time. Playing Zelda, playing Mario Kart, playing Mario Rabbids, you know? It's like, dude, I was so skeptical of the Switch at first, and I'm so glad I was wrong. I'm so glad I was wrong, because that thing is freaking amazing. And like you said, Danny, look, because I was screaming at the thing when you and Pete were getting into this. Yeah. What Danny was saying was right. There's no other system that has launched in the first year where you legitimately have two, potentially three Game of the Year contenders on it in the first year. It's never happened before.
I've never seen that ever.
That's never happened before. Zelda, obviously, is a Game of the Year contender. We're already seeing Mario Odyssey is potentially a Game of the Year contender.
Mario Rabbids.
I was about to say, I will argue Mario Rabbids, while it won't be Game of the Year, is definitely a top 10 game this year. It is.
Honestly, I have never, not even with the Wii, with the original Wii, which is so hot. And it was because of the motion, the Wii Sports, you know, that's the reason why I sold. But it wasn't because of the first party content at all. Out of all these years in gaming, I have never seen a company that had so many games in one year.
Yeah.
This has been the best year for Nintendo since, I think, my God, I don't even know, since maybe
2007. I would say since 2007.
No. As a launch, I'm talking about like launch-wise for the first year. I've never seen this, man.
Launch? Ooh, yeah, that's good. Maybe Super Nintendo maybe. Or the 64 only had Mario 64 and what, Pilot Wings. I would say maybe the Super Nintendo.
They had
Super Mario World.
Final Fight.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd have to go back and look and see what launched with it, but I know they had some strong games that first year.
No, I'm telling you, man, this is a great year, man, and it's good. Like, everybody right now, power and 4K. Yo, Nintendo's not even thinking about that. They're just releasing content, man. Yep. Like I said, every month since the system came out in March, every month, was it March or February?
March. February, was it March? Okay. It was March.
Mm-hmm. Every month, they've been releasing a first big, huge game, first party or exclusive game, and every week, they release multiple independent games.
Yeah.
Every week. Every Tuesday or every Thursday. From March to now. Who has done that, man? When PlayStation and Xbox release their console, they have that one or two big games. Maybe one might be Game of the Year contender, right? Game of the Year contender. But and then it's like dry for like a couple months. I have not seen this.
I'd argue, and I'm sure some people will yell at me for saying this because I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. Xbox or PlayStation has not had a must-have game at launch since Halo Combat Evolved.
I have to agree.
I can't think of anything else. I mean, I'm just being real. I can't think of something that came out day one with either PlayStation or Xbox that I'm like, man, I had to have that.
I totally agree.
I can't think of anything.
Yo, Paris, 100% agree with you. Since that day, what else?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, look, I mean, like I said, with Mario Odyssey.
It's a great year to be alive.
Yeah,
man. I'm telling you, it's good. It's good, man.
It's a good year.
So when people say, yo, should I buy the Switch? Yes. Don't wait for a 2.0.
That dude on the voicemail. Yeah, no, hell no. Wait, don't wait. What are you going to wait for? Go get it now because... Dude, like Pete was joking around, it's like you can barely find one right now as it is, right? So where is Nintendo's incentive? Hey, let's upgrade the Switch. They ain't upgrading nothing. Why? They're making money. They're not going to upgrade the Switch anytime soon.
Go for it.
No, I was going to say this. I will say this, though, and we talked about this a little bit when the Switch was first coming out. Mm-hmm. I'm now more convinced than ever that you will see the 3DS go away in the next couple years.
I think so too. I think Metro is like their last big.
They're gonna release Pokemon.
I know they're releasing Pokemon, and so on, right? You know, but I think Metro was like their last big game for.
They won't make it. Let's put it this way. They're not going to make a new 3DS. They're not. Whatever the next thing is, will basically be the Switch and the 3DS together. That's what it is. I mean, it's basically what the Switch is now. Any games beyond this current 3DS will be on the Switch.
Yeah.
And then they'll just have virtual console for the rest of that stuff. Oh, and that's the other thing you guys are talking about. See, me, like I said, I'm not getting a Super NES Classic. I wouldn't get an N64 Classic. I'm not getting any of those. I'd rather spend the $5 per game for probably the 10 games I'd want between the NES, Super Nintendo, N64, and GameCube. On a virtual console. I'd rather do that.
You know what's crazy? I can see that, Paris. I can see that. But I love my Super Nintendo so much. Like, when I went to San Francisco, I took it with me because I'm playing Final Fantasy right now, from Final Fantasy 3 from the beginning. And I try to connect it. I'm like, this stupid TV doesn't want to change inputs, man. I tried everything, man. It just didn't work. I'm like, and that's what to be like, look, man, I connected my Super Nintendo, I had my controller with me and everything. Yo, it didn't work. But see, yo, Paris, there's people that don't want to spend $300, man. They feel comfortable with just $80, and that's it. That's all they need. They don't need no Nintendo Switch or anything like that. That's what the thing I've been trying to say.
I don't know. It's just you get the Nintendo Classic, the Super Nintendo Classic. That's $160 right there. You're halfway to a Switch.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of. I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
At LV, our car insurance comes from the heart. That's why we've just launched our new multi-car cover. One policy and one renewal date means it's one simple way for you to save on your family's cars. So just imagine how much you can save by insuring 2, 3, or even more cars with us. To get your exclusive multi-car discount from the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. T's and C's apply.
Game on. It's week 7 of the NFL, and don't miss a second of the NFL on CBS. You got some pretty good games going on this week with Kansas City versus Oakland tonight, Thursday night. You got Baltimore versus Minnesota, which is going to be a pretty good game, surprisingly. And then my favorite, you got the Denver Broncos versus the San Diego Chargers on Sunday afternoon. Don't miss a second of the NFL on CBS with CBS's All Access. Subscribers can stream their local market games live and get full game day coverage on TV-connected devices and tablets. From Thursday night football to Sunday doubleheaders, we have all your NFL on CBS excitement covered. CBS All Access subscribers can also stream other live events like special award shows, news, fall premieres, and more, as well as get access to over 9,000 current and classic episodes on demand. So please, start your free trial now at cbs.com/NFL. That's cbs.com/NFL.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio, episode 709.
Wow, 709, Pete. Interesting.
By the way, in a couple of weeks, Pete, Xbox One X, we got Mario, we got Assassin's Creed, we got Wolfenstein.
I love how you threw Xbox One X out there at the front. It couldn't have been the games. It couldn't have been, you know.
Well, it's a new
Stranger Things.
The newest,
it couldn't have been like the new Thor Ragnarok movie. No, you had to out there.
I'm not talking about movies. I'm talking about games right now. The thing is, the reason why I mentioned Xbox One is because it's considered a new, and I quote, new console, new hardware. So that's why I brought it up. Hey, it's good for the industry, man. You know, it's good.
Mm.
There's nothing bad about that.
Mm.
So yeah, that's why I put it up. Are you planning to play anything this year besides Battlegrounds, Pete? Anything? Please, something. Mention something. Pump me up. Hype me up.
I don't know. I mean, all right. So I was, you know, on my computer earlier today. Actually, I've been on my computer all day long, but I saw my Blizzard client crash. I fired it back up, and all of a sudden Destiny 2 on PC started updating, and I started getting this 40 gig update and started going and downloading. And I was just like, woe be the gods. They gave me the game for free. Woo. It finished downloading.
Okay.
But it didn't fire it up. It didn't fire up. So I was like, oh, well, I guess I don't have Destiny 2 uninstalled.
So you're not the cool guy. Okay. Continue.
You're not Paris. I'm not Paris. I don't honestly, and I'm not going to speak for him, but I don't see myself playing Destiny 2. I don't have a reason to. I mean, I've maybe got 10 hours. I maybe have 10 hours on the PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself spending the additional dollars to play that same content on PC.
Which is fine.
Therefore, I mean, yes, I'll play other games like Assassin's Creed Origins. I know I had said in the past that I'd likely double dip on the Destiny train, but Destiny 2 didn't hold me. It didn't grab me. It wasn't the same game that I had the expectation for. Yeah, fine. During the beta, I got hype. You know, I had the golden ticket. I was on the hype train and I was ready to go on the trip. But after playing the regular game, that hype subsided on a sharp decline. It was literally like driving off the cliff and going into nothing. It didn't hold me and I don't know. I mean, considering I have 1,000+ hours on the first Destiny between PlayStation and Xbox, mostly on Xbox, you know, dozens of raids under my belt. I don't even think I finished the Nightfall on Destiny 2.
Wow. Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
And I've been having a side conversation with a friend of mine, and
you feel the same way,
right? Yeah. Right now, PUBG checks all those boxes for Pete.
And that, you know what?
It may not check all those check boxes for Danny, and we know it doesn't check boxes for Paris.
Hold on, Pete. But I'm saying, if once it comes on Xbox One X, I could play, Pete. The thing is, I can't play right now.
Oh no, and I'll definitely play it because right now it's my game. Yeah. It's the game. It's almost as if, you know, It's almost like Blue Hole and Player Unknown were like,
yeah.
So Pete, if we decided to make a game for you, what would you like it to do? Send. Right. And right now PUBG is the hotness, and it has everything that I like in a game. It has the action, but mostly it's the randomness. It's the complete wild outside of the norm. You don't know what's going to happen until it happens, and then you've got to literally adjust on the fly, because it's not the same thing where you got to go and kill ads and then you got to go run here and then you got to go do this and you got no it's the randomness that makes it fun. So I will put time into Assassin's Creed Origins because I like the Assassin's Creed franchise. I've dug what I've seen over the last couple of months and the last two or three times that we've had an opportunity to play the game.
Ancient Egypt.
Woo. I don't know if I've said this in the past, but I've always loved, you know, hieroglyphics and ancient Egypt and Anubis and Set and all that whole lore of ancient Egypt has always gotten me, right? From the time that I was a little kid. So I'm definitely going to spend time in there. But when I want stupid fun, I'm just gonna automatically divert to PUBG because that's where it is for me. Now, hopefully we see when the game comes out and the other two islands get released. We've seen some pictures just as recent as a couple of days ago where, you know, we've seen, you know, the desert building maps and stuff like that. I like what I see. Me gusta. So and like I've said before, the reason why I'll pick it up on Xbox is so that I can play with Danny, so I can play with my friend Funk in California, you know, who I haven't played in a game with in months because I've been on PC playing PUBG, you know, and that's someone that I've known for 10 plus years now. I've been playing online with, and I haven't played with them. So, you know, that's going to be the game that's going to have me going back and forth between my office and my living room.
I tell you this, man, I love Destiny 2. Like, now that I love Destiny 2, everybody's like, yeah, the game is all right, whatever. And now I don't want to play. I'm like, damn, man, but the game is actually fun. Now, the reason why I haven't played Destiny 2 for a while now, it's been a couple of weeks. The reason is, man, there's a lot of great games I want to review, I want to talk about. Indie and even major games like, you know, South Park. Let me tell you, Pete, besides the whole crazy jokes and all that stuff, I really enjoy South Park, man. It was so much fun to play that from start to finish. Minus the demo that we played at E3. I didn't like that part. But besides that, game is freaking good, man. A lot of fun. I had a blast playing that. Oh my God, The Evil Within. P, you know how I am with horror games. The game is freaking amazing. So good. So good. And look, that's all single player games. None multiplayer. Now I'm playing Jackbox Party Pack 4. I played that now today for a couple hours today and yesterday. And we had a good group of people there. We had like 30 people playing and everything. I'm like, oh, that's dope. You know, like, it's fun. I like to try new things, man. I just love that. I love discovering.
And I'm totally for that. I'm totally with it. I get it. There's great content coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
You asked me and I told and I answered. Right now, PUBG is my hotness. Yeah. PUBG is
can't hate that.
Is the game
for me.
I can't hate on that. It's fun and it's gotten me hyped to Destiny type levels from a year ago.
Yeah.
So
All right, head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. We'll be getting a lot of emails. Keep it up. We're gonna read it hopefully on the next episode of GTR and also play some voicemails that we have. We're gonna play the next episode 710. Check that out next week. Go to Gamertag or whether listen to those shows. Also go to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. We're everywhere. Make sure if you listen to us through iTunes, make sure to post reviews there. So yeah, if you can't just post the reviews over there, that'll be awesome. And anything else, Pete, before we wrap it up?
I have nothing else.
Okay, so that means we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.